Real quick, I want to share this word with you that I believe is relevant for where we're at. And I just want to encourage you with this final word for today. If you're following along with me on a tablet or pad or your Bible, go to Hebrews. Hebrews, the 10th chapter. Now I'm going to read from the Message Bible, though. So if you don't have the Message Bible, it won't sound quite the same, but I need to read it from this, and then I want to share a few points with you. So I'm reading from the Message Bible, Hebrews, the 10th chapter, starting at verse 19. It says this: "So friends, we can now without hesitation walk right up to God into the holy place. Jesus has cleared the way by the blood of his sacrifice, acting as our priest before God. The curtain into God's presence is his body. So let's do it, full of belief, confidence that we're presentable inside and out. Let's keep a firm grip on the promises that keep us going. Let's see how inventive we can be in encouraging love and helping out, not avoiding worshiping together as some do, but spurring each other on, especially as we see the big day approaching. If we give up and turn our backs on all we've learned, all we've been given, all the truth we now know, we repudiate Christ's sacrifice and are left on our own to face the judgment and the mighty, fierce judgment it will be. If the penalty for breaking the law of Moses is physical death, what do you think will happen if we turn on God's Son, spit on the sacrifice that made you whole, and insult his most gracious spirit? This is no light matter. God has warned us that he'll hold us to account and make us pay. He was quite explicit. Vengeance is mine. I won't overlook a thing. And God will judge his people. Nobody's getting by with anything, believe me." Verse 32. "Remember those early days after you first saw the light? Those were the hard times, kicked around in public, targets on every kind of abuse. Some days it was you, other days your friends. If some friends went to prison, you stuck by them. If some enemies broke in and seized your goods, you let them go with a smile, knowing that they couldn't touch your real treasure. Nothing they did bothered you. Nothing set you back. So don't throw it all away now. You were sure of yourselves then. It's still a sure thing. But you need to stick it out, staying with God's plan, so you'll be there for the promised completion. It won't be long now. He's on his way. He'll show up most any minute. But anyone who is right with me thrives on loyal trust. If he cuts and runs, I won't be very happy. 39, but we're not quitters who lose out. Oh, no. We'll stay with it and survive, trusting all the way." And so I just want to talk for the next few moments. There's 5 points I want to give you, just points that you can be able to take with you, to be able to think about, meditate on, pray into, for where you may find yourself in this season of your journey. Kelvin, can you come up and move this back for me? I just don't need that anymore. Hey, take that glass out first, though, so it doesn't drop. I want to talk for a moment from this thought: your history with God makes all the difference. Your history with God makes all the difference. Over the last couple of weeks, as we've been talking about giving and we've been talking about how the Lord wants us to partner with him, one of the points that I've tried to get across, and I will continue to try to reiterate because it's something we've got to get in us, is that every part of your journey, everything that's happening in your world, God is using that. He will use that to bring you into a more complete relationship with him and a more complete manifestation of who he is through you. Is this making sense to you? Come on, I need y'all to stay with me now. Stay with me. So one of the points that I was making a week or so ago is how that Jesus kept pulling the disciples into opportunities for them to be blessed by participating, with the idea that once you do it, you know what's available to you. All of us have history with God. All of us have history with God. The challenge that I see oftentimes with believers is sometimes we act like we don't. God can work in our lives, and he's working in our lives even now, but if we're not connecting the dots, if you will, if we're not reminding ourselves of his faithfulness every day, you can get in a place where you really start feeling like, thinking like, acting like God's not been consistent in your world. He's not been consistent in your life. And so as a result of that, you could even begin to pray like he's not done much for you, rather than walking in the place of confidence because you have history with God. And history with God makes all the difference. So I was doing some reading, and I started to read some different passages about David. And one of the things that I saw with David, I shared earlier how that he would inquire of God relative to the things that he felt he was going to do, and God would give him instruction. But for David, it didn't start once he became king. It started when he was a little boy. And so I want to focus on 1 Samuel 17 and just 5 points out of the scenario of when he shows up and deals with Goliath. 1 Samuel 17, now we're all familiar with the passage of scripture because in that is where God sends Samuel to Jesse's house. He gets to Jesse's house. He's supposed to be anointing the next king. All of David's brothers were not qualified. God says, no, you can't look on the outward. Man looks on the outward, but God looks on the heart. I got somebody else. He's out in the field. Where was David at? What was David doing? Say he was working. Come on, say he was working. Now, just another footnote. This is what an added. But God's going to always find somebody that's working first. That's why, listen to me, don't get overwhelmed when God comes to you about something he wants you to do as if he's interrupting your life because you're already busy. God's going to look for those that have already proven themselves to be consistent. So that's why oftentimes he'll come to you and present something to you and say, I need you to do this. And sometimes we're looking at it and say, I don't know how I'm going to fit this in. But if God comes to you and says, I need you to do this, guess what? No, he's already made a way. Okay? He's already made a way. He's not figuring it out. He don't have to make a way. It's already done. Somewhere in his view, it's already a part of your purpose and destiny. He's just bringing it into your light so that you can see it. Are you listening to me? Now, this is exactly what's happening with David. David was just as content being out there with them sheep, taking care of those sheep, and he took care of them well, not recognizing that there's a whole nother scenario, there's a whole nother job description being written for him. What assignment does God have for you next? And he's saying, just stay faithful where you're at. Stay content where you're at. I'm coming to get you. I'm coming to get you. I'm coming to get you. And so we know that Samuel comes to Jesse's house. He ends up anointing David. David goes right on back out doing what he's doing until he gets the call to come to Saul's palace, to come to Saul's place. Now, he comes there because of his reputation. He's brought there because one of the servants of Saul has seen David, and David, he says he's an anointed musician. I believe he's the guy that can bring comfort to you. Saul says, bring him, and that's exactly what happens. That's his introduction into the place ultimately a purpose and destiny. So you got to be okay with the fact that sometimes God will position you early on, and what you're doing when he positions you is not the thing you're going to do later, but you got to be okay with where he positions you right then. Okay, that these aren't even the points I have written, but that's good. Yeah. So David is working. Then David gets a call from the dad. Listen, I need you to take some things out to your brothers. They're out fighting. Puts together what to take, sends him out there. Now, this is where I want to begin to draw us into these 5 points. And I believe these are key points for us in this season that we find ourselves, for many of you personally, for all of us corporately. In the story, it speaks like this, and I'm paraphrasing now for the sake of time. It says, Israel is on one mountain, Philistines are on another mountain, and the valley is below them. We know it to be the Valley of Elah. And they send out Goliath. They say they send out the giant. They send out the giant. Say they send out the giant. Come on, say they send out the giant. So they send out one of, if not their greatest warrior. And he begins to taunt them. And he begins to talk about them. And they said, this goes on for 40 days and 40 nights. That means that Israel is there and they're trying to figure out what are we going to do. And they're being taunted 40 days and 40 nights. Now, all the while, David is making his way with the snacks, with the food for his brothers. It says this in 1 Samuel 17, 2 and 3. It says, Saul and the men of Israel were gathered and encamped in the Valley of Elah. It says, and drew up in battle array to encounter the Philistines. This is where it says it. The Philistines stood on the mountain on one side, while Israel stood on the mountain on the other side with the valley between them. There was not going to be any conquest till somebody showed up in the valley. Most often we want to experience victories from the mountaintops. But here's the point I want to make. Some victories are only won once you step into the valley. Number one. Some victories are only won once you step into the valley. Once you step into that difficult space, once you step into that uncomfortable space. If they were going to win, somebody was going to have to go down into the valley. The second thing is this, 17 verse 11. It says, when Saul and Israel heard these words of the Philistines, they were dismayed and greatly afraid. Now, how many of you know that Saul was a coward? Saul was a coward. That you see that early on when Samuel went to find him to anoint him to be king. He was a coward. He hid in the baggage when they were trying to find him to anoint him, to set him in place. They had to go get him out of the baggage. When Saul and all Israel heard these words of the Philistines, they were dismayed and greatly afraid. The second point I want you to understand is this. You always have a choice of how you react or respond to something you hear or you see. The choice is yours. You always have a choice as to how you respond. The key to your response is going to be out of where you are in God, where your relationship is with God. You always have a choice of how you will react or respond to something that you hear or you see. Only you know whether you handle that well when information comes to you. I said this some time ago through one of the movies that I watched. It was Will Smith and his son in the movie called Earth Something. But in the movie, his character learned to conquer fear. Will Smith's character, the dad, learned to conquer fear. He was trying to teach his son how to do the same. But he made this statement to him. He said, you must know that the danger is real, but fear is a choice. The danger is real, but fear is a choice. Paul, speaking to Timothy, God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of love, power, and a sound mind. God has not given you a spirit of fear, but of love, power, and a sound mind. You always have a choice as to how you will react or respond to something that's going on, information that comes to you. When this information came to Saul, they're looking out over it. Because of where their leader was, everybody else followed suit. That's why I would say to any leader, you have to understand the weight and the responsibility that comes on your leading and how you lead and how you handle the things that come to you. Because whether you realize it or not, people are watching. People are waiting to see how you respond. And everybody's looking at Saul, and Saul's afraid. He's afraid. So everybody's afraid. In the meantime, David is on his way. And when David gets there, David spends his time working. David spends his time with the sheep. But more importantly, David spends his time in the presence of God. Let me say that again. Because some might think he's just a kid taking care of sheep. But there was something about his taking care of the sheep that brought him into a place of relationship with God that caused him to have an intimate relationship. And out of that, it produced something very different. Because when David gets there, David shows up. And it says this, then David spoke to the men who were standing by them, and he says this, what will be done for the man who kills this Philistine and takes away the reproach of Israel? Then he says this, who is this uncircumcised Philistine that would taunt the armies of the living God? The people answered him in accord with this word, saying, this it will be done for the man who kills him. Now, you got to get this picture. David doesn't show up buff, armored up, ready to throw down. He's a shepherd boy. But he shows up and his conversation is convicting everybody. Because here's the point I want to make. Point three. Some people look at a situation and all they see is the problem. Others look at it and see it as an opportunity. Perspective is everything. Perspective is everything. They're fearful. David shows up and he's looking out. But because of his perspective, he's not looking at it with the same eyes of, what are we going to do? David is challenging what he sees in front of him. He sees it as an opportunity. Hey, what would a guy get that kills this guy? Settles this thing right now. Anybody, is there a reward? Is there something, you know? And they let him know. But then he makes a statement. Now hear me. He makes a statement that helps us understand his perspective. He says, who is this uncircumcised Philistine? He's saying, this guy does not have a covenant with the living God. They do not have a covenant with the Almighty. I'm talking about history now with God makes all the difference. History with God makes all the difference. So he's showing up, scrawny, little, but a whole different perspective. that sets him in place for God to be able to use him. That's why you can never allow yourself to go by someone's outward appearance as if you can size somebody up. You never want to do that. You never know what's on the inside. You never know the journey. You never know the history. You never know what God has done in their life. You never know what their life may be about. Who is this uncircumcised Philistine that would defy the armies of the living God? He's setting the standard right there, and he's making it known. We're the ones who have the advantage here. And then it goes on in verse 28, it says this. Now Eliab, his oldest brother, heard when he spoke to the men, and Eliab's anger burned against David. Why? Why do you think that was? Because he was embarrassed. Because he was put on the spot. Why have you come down? And with whom have you left those few sheep in the wilderness? What's he trying to do? He's trying to put him down. I know your insolence and the wickedness of your heart, for you have come down to in order to see the battle. Now David is just responding to his father. Take them this stuff. David said, what have I done? Was it not just a question? But how many of you know sometimes the right question in the wrong situation, or the right question to a wrong person, can cause them to take it a whole different way. David is just trying to assess the situation. And then it says this, he turned away from him to another and said the same thing, and the people answered the same thing before him. Number four. You must not let those who are perplexed or paralyzed by the problem distract or discourage you from what you see as an opportunity. You must not let those who are perplexed or paralyzed by the problem distract or discourage you from what you see as an opportunity. Now, I'm talking about kingdom perspective now. I'm talking about the way, hear me, I'm talking about a way now that we have to begin to walk in. Because people have looked at things, will look at things even for years, and all they see is the problem. All they see is the problem. All they see is the need. All they see is the problem. But if you can step in with redeemed eyes, if you can step in with a vision that comes from God, then it will infuse in you what needs to be done. And you will not allow yourself to become distracted or discouraged from what you see to be an opportunity for God to be glorified. See, that's what David's thing was. That's what David's thing was. And my last point is found in this text here. 1 Samuel 17, verse 31. When the words which David spoke were heard, they told them to Saul, and he sent for him. David said to Saul, let no man's heart fail on account of him. Your servant will go and fight with the Philistine. Then Saul said to David, you are not able to go against the Philistine to fight with him, for you are but a youth, while he has been a warrior from his youth. Now here's where the history kicks in. But David said to Saul, your servant was tending his father's sheep when a lion or a bear came and took a lion from the flock. I went after him and attacked him and rescued it from his mouth. And when he rose up against me, I seized him by his beard and struck him and killed him. What David is talking about now is I got history with God. I got history with God. I may not have had the same kind of training that this giant had, but I've had training. Your training may not look like my training, or your training may not look like somebody else's, but I'm telling you, if you take time to allow the Holy Spirit to show you, you can land in a place of recognizing, I really am better off than I thought I was. I'm stronger. I'm more wise. I have skills and abilities. Some of y'all remember that Rocky movie years ago when Rocky was fighting the Russian? Yeah, some of y'all don't know about this movie. That's okay. In this movie, Rocky's fighting this Russian guy, and the Russians had all the technology, the biggest equipment. They got him on all this technology, and Rocky's up in the mountains at some cabin, running in the snow, running with tree trunks hanging off of him. A whole different kind of training, but it's producing the same result. And what David was saying, now, I recognize I ain't got trained like him, but I got history with God. He said, your servant has killed both the lion and the bear, and this, now he threw this in again, and this uncircumcised Philistine will be like one of them, since he has taunted the armies of the living God. Hear me when I say this. Oftentimes the battle you and I are fighting, it's not about you. It's that the enemy is trying to do. And if you can keep it in its right place, you'll recognize it's God that's going to get the victory out of this. See, what David was saying to Saul was, look, this uncircumcised Philistine, he's come up against God. I'm just the tool he's going to use to end this thing. The Lord who delivered me from the paw of the lion and from the paw of the bear. Here he goes again. He's making the analogy. The paw of the lion, the paw of the bear will deliver me from the hand of the Philistine. He said, the only difference here is this guy's got hands. That's the only difference here. And Saul said to David, go and may the Lord be with you. That sounds like a guy that ain't going. And so this is my last point. You must not allow fear and doubt of others to persuade you to move out of the place of confidence you have in God. Let me say this again. You must not allow the fear and doubt of others to persuade you and move you out of the place of confidence you have in God. Your history with God matters. Your training in God is more valuable than you know. You must simply believe it. We know the rest of the story. Saul tries to offer his armor. David says, I can't use it. He says it hasn't been proven. It hasn't been tested. It hasn't been proven. It hasn't been tested. I'm saying to some of you under the sound of my voice, you've been proven. You've been tested. You've been proven. You've been tested. You have goods that you don't know you have. You've been proven. You've been tested. And he says he grabbed a slingshot, five smooth stones, and ran on out there into that valley. And when he got out there, he prophesied. He prophesied to that giant. He spoke to that situation. And I'm saying to you, it's time for you to begin to speak to your situations. He said, you come to me with your sword and shield, but I come to you in the name of the Lord Sabaoth. He said, this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to kill you. I'm going to cut your head off. And then feed you to the birds. And then the scripture says he ran towards him. Come on, somebody. He said what he was going to say and then ran towards him. Your history in God matters. Your history in God matters. You must simply believe it. It's time to step up. It's time to step up. It's time to move into greater places of authority. Worship times are great, but we've got a world that has to be changed. We've got communities that must be transformed. And you are a part of making that happen. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Come on, if you receive the word, would you just shout amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah.